And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin and Obi-Wan are taken prisoner by Hondo and his pirates. The Jedi and Count Dooku must form an unlikely alliance to escape. There will be Hondo and Naka forming a bromance of the ages, and our heroes dragging around Dooku like a cat in a leash in those internet videos. Hi Chris.
Hi Hope.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm drinking some Irish breakfast tea.
You don't want to ask me how I am because I'll start crying.
I know how you are. I know what happened. It's sad.
Yeah. Well, just so we don't worry our leaders, our listeners, and our leaders.
Oops,
Gravity
leaders.
Gravity Falls has ended, and I just got finished watching the final episode, and it was perfect. Like it was a perfect ending, and I cried. Oh my god, I'm gonna cry again.
Don't cry, Hope.
What?
Don't cry.
Oh, it was a beautiful ending.
You can always watch it again. Is the whole show over, or is that just the ending?
Yeah, it was the series finale.
Oh.
Alex Hirsch purposely was like, no, it's only going to be two seasons because I want this story to have a beginning, middle, and an end, and I don't want to milk it for everything and have it lose its magic. Like, he had a clear vision to give it a full arc. Okay, so we're going to talk about Clone Wars now. Oh my gosh, wait, oh my tears. I'm still like crying like an hour later. Okay, so Clone Wars. Shut up, Chris. All right, well today we're going to talk about, this is a weird opening to our episode. I'm crying. Today we're going to be talking about the Gungan General. It is the 12th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on January 9th, 2009. It was written by Julie Siege and directed by Justin Rich. And just some extra episode information, Senator Karras' staff was designed to be like the staff of Ra from Raiders of the Lost Ark of Indiana Jones.
Whoa, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
I know, I find this stuff. Thank you, Wikipedia. They did all the work for me. Okay, so this is a weird start to this episode. Sorry.
Well, it's about to get weirder, but at least it's weird as it's always weird.
Yeah, it's Star Wars weird, which is a great different kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, as always, we start every episode with the moral tagline spoken in a weird Yoda voice in bed.
Fail with honor rather than succeed by fraud in bed.
I don't want any of those fraudulent beds.
Well, there's all sorts of ways that you could, I guess, be fraudulent in bed, so it works. As always, it works.
Yeah. Though, I after reading the next one, I don't think the next one works at all.
The next one's tough, yeah.
It's the worst of the batch, I think, so far.
It's a stretch, yeah.
All right. So, Clone Wars. So, Act 1, yes.
Oh.
No, maybe.
Oh, I'm ready.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm ready.
I thought I lost you there.
Oh
for a
no,
second.
Sorry, I'm caffeinated. I'm ready to go.
All right. Continuing from the previous episode, Count Dooku has been captured by the pirates led by Hondo and Naka. The Republic has agreed to pay them a hefty ransom for the Sith Lord. Too bad Anakin and Obi-Wan got a Bill Cosby made drink. Too soon? Too soon?
Maybe not for me.
Okay. Okay. They got Bill Cosby in their drink.
I'm okay with that.
Shoo. Sorry. Anyway, our Jedi heroes wake up in a cell, captured by the pirates. They also realize that they're tethered to Count Dooku. Turk, Hondo's right-hand man, thinks it would be more profitable dealing with the Separatists than the Republic. He decides to go behind Hondo's back and shoot down the Republic ship and take the money for himself. As Jar Jar Binks Incinera Karis' ship comes into orbit with the ransom money, Turk's men move in to attack. Their ship is hit by a missile as Jar Jar rolls around in the cabin. Senator Karis gets up to help Jar Jar back into his seat, but his safety harness malfunctions as they crash into the ground. This is a strange episode.
Yeah.
So where do you want to start with this?
Well, I thought at the very end of the last episode, they switched drinks with the guys next to them.
I guess they were more crafty.
I guess maybe they just drugged everybody's drinks or something, but it was just, you know, or just in case.
That's why you have this idea of, like, whoever wakes up first, put the Jedi in a cell.
Yeah, just sit those two guys next to the Jedi. I don't like them anyway. But I thought that they had, like, switched drinks and they were like, oh, look at that at the end of the other episode. I thought they'd sort of craftily evaded that, but apparently not because they're waking up in the drunk tank.
Yeah, and the other two guys did pass out. So, or maybe it was like a double switch. Like, they knew that the Jedi would do that. So the two guys already had the drug drinks and they just put the other half of the knockout stuff in it to make it more potent or something.
Yeah, they just they would have had to drugged all four of those drinks, cause so everybody would get it. But
they're equal opportunist drugs.
I guess so. Yeah.
Everybody gets the drugs.
They're serial Bill Cosbys.
Oh,
Bill Cosby was a serial Bill Cosby, so I guess it still fits.
Too soon. Nah.
This is an example of bad Jar Jar. Remember the last Jar Jar? And people are starting talking about, I heard Chris loved Jar Jar, and Chris and Jar Jar are sitting in a tree. But this is bad use of, I liked Jar Jar in the last one because it was ironic, and it was kind of focused on him. And then this one's sort of like, oh, maybe we should follow this through. And it's like, no, not this way.
Yeah. I had that issue too, because like the last week when we were talking about the end of last week's episode, they literally could have sent anyone from the Republic to get a dangerous Sith Lord and transport him to Coruscant, and they choose Jar Jar Binks.
and the guy with him is kind of wimpy too, and it's just like, no, send some badasses to this one, at least one.
Send Wet Blanky with you.
Yeah.
I mean, at least he would have, like, a better chance.
He would have been some help instead of screwing everything up, to get him into that situation. I mean, it's arguable that Jar Jar helped get that guy killed, you know?
Though, I know you don't agree, but because of how bad Jar Jar is, maybe he was actually good. So I'm going to present to you my Darth Jar Jar theory of the day.
Maybe.
Ready?
I'm not sure I like his new voice either. I think it's a little bit funky. It's the other, it's not, this is the first one without, what's his name,
Ahmed Best.
Ahmed Best, and, it's a little deeper, you know? Like when he's just
manly
yelling,
Jar-Jar.
Like when a laser hits him and near him and he goes, "Yeah," it sounds perfect, but like when he's talking, it sounds like someone doing their bad Jar Jar impression.
So, I'm gonna give you my Darth Jar Jar theory for today.
Okay.
Because I know you don't agree with this theory. But, so, Emperor Palpatine, who we all know as Darth Sidious, picks Jar Jar for this mission, to transport a very dangerous criminal. Well, I think it's because they're in cahoots because it's Darth Jar Jar, right?
Okay.
And through the course of events, Jar Jar ended up getting Karis killed. And after the senator's death, his home planet became unstable, and it sparked a political crisis that isolated the planet from the Republic, and they eventually left the Republic to join the Separatists, just as Jar Jar planned.
It's possible.
I know you don't believe
Occam's Razor, that whatever the simplest solution is the most likely solution, and I just think that it's like Palpatine knew that he could just, if he sent Jar Jar, things were going to get messed up. Mm-hmm. So he was that. But yeah, that's just because I reject out of hand the Darth Jar Jar theory.
Every time there's a Jar Jar at Binks episode, I'm going to try and prove this theory. I'm just warning you now.
Here's why I oppose it, Hope. If this theory gets too big and spreads throughout the internet, somebody might someday be like, hey, this is something people want to see in a movie. That's all I'm saying.
No, Star Wars has already come out. Like, Lucasfilms has flat out come out and was like, this is not a thing. They were like, it's a fun theory, but it's never going to happen. Like, they flat out... I'm only bringing Darth Jar Jar theories for fun for our podcast.
All right, yeah, all right.
I don't actually believe it. I just think it's a fun theory, and I know you disagree with it, and I like annoying you, so I'm just going to bring it in every Jar Jar Binks episode.
You're helping to destroy Star Wars, Hope.
Yay! You don't really think I'm trying to destroy Star Wars, do you?
You're tearing me apart!
I've already cried enough tonight from Gravity Falls. I don't need to cry about being blamed
about
destroying
Star Wars. That
I'm
would be
sure.
The headline of this episode. Hope destroys Star... breaks Star Wars.
No, I just want to have fun because I do think the theory is very cool and very smart. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, guys. I really don't. I just think it's a really fun theory, so I thought it'd be a fun thing for our podcast to try and prove the theory, even though I don't believe in it. I just like annoying Chris.
Everybody obviously knows, Hope, that the Leia's Snoke theory is way more plausible.
The what?
Leia's Snoke theory. You've never heard that one? That's the
I haven't seen that one. I've been following the Ezra is a Knight of Ren.
Okay, get this.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Lay it on me.
All right. So we got to go back to in time. When Luke was training the Jedi. Now we know Leia is a Skywalker and has Force potential. But by the time we see her in Force Awakens, right, she's not like a practicing Jedi or anything. She's just sort of like, you know, an extension of the normal non-Jedi, non-Force-using Leia. But what if Leia decided to work on her Force abilities, and because she was doing it untrained, pretty much, you know, got mixed up in the dark side and started plotting with her son take over the galaxy.
Aww.
That now there's also a video, I'm sure you can find it really easily on YouTube, of a still of Leia's face and a still of Snoke's face, and they fade from one to the other. Almost exactly the same.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
So she's been behind the scenes, you know, and as a Sith Lord, what would you want to do? You'd want to get rid of the last of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker. So as Snoke, she's leading, you know, the First Order and trying to find Luke Skywalker, but she's also head of the Resistance, who are looking for Luke Skywalker. So she's got all the bases covered. And who's the only person who would stand in her way? Her ex-husband, Han Solo. And where does she send him? Right into the arms of the sun. Gets him out of the way.
I just had this, like, fun image of, like, Leia in her room talking as Snoke and like into the holograms and everything.
Oh yeah, it's like,
and
Han
just comes,
like the Wizard of
Han
Oz.
Han just comes in and like knocks on the door and he's like, honey, are you all ready for dinner? Still putting on my makeup, dear.
Yep.
Kill the Jedi.
Bring him to me.
I'll be there in a second, dear. I have to go finish thawing a turkey.
Kill them all.
Oh, man. Though I do like the whole idea of Ezra being a Knight of Ren, though.
Yeah. And, you know, who knows? Disney can do that now.
Yeah. Oh, it is a ticker tape parade. Keep in mind, we do, record way far in advance. They filmed the first day. Today was the first day of filming for episode 8. So, yay!
Yep, there's a little video out of, like, them finishing their first shot.
I know, I haven't had a chance. I have it saved. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's been a crazy ass day.
I don't know if it's going to be the first shot of the movie or just the first shot that they filmed, but it's...
A lot of times they film out of order.
Oh, yeah,
so.
But it's mighty unusual for a Star Wars film either way.
I do find it fun that, like, Mark Hamill tweeted out, like, I still don't have lines. Hooray, first day of shooting. Uh-huh. Mark Hamill is a gift to mankind. No, Carrie Fisher is a gift to mankind. Her Twitter is so fucking hilarious.
Oh, you know what? Hope now people can try to find... If you found me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter. If you haven't found me on Facebook, you're going to have to figure me out. But I'm on Twitter now.
I saw that. I was like, hey, there's Chris.
I went and had to redo my password because somebody probably tried to hack my Twitter account or, you know, since it's been sitting dormant for literally like 5 years.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I didn't know people followed you back when you followed them. Like,
a lot of people do.
Well, I mean, my friends all did, but like, you know, some of the like, Patton Oswalt. Is that just how Twitter works? Or I don't know how it works. And I was just like, I'll follow Patton Oswalt because he's funny and he talks about Star Wars a lot.
Some people don't. Huh? It depends on like the people. Like some people follow back, some people don't. I follow a ton of celebrities and I only have like 3 that followed me back, and
I just assumed it was like an automatic function of Twitter. I'm just learning like how it functions, and I still don't know if I like it yet.
Yeah, though I heard that they're expanding their character length, which I'm very excited.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. I don't like,
because when you put a picture for a podcast and a link, you only have so much you can say about the episode.
It's right. Because does it count the characters in the link and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
The links, and if you attach a picture, it all counts towards your characters. So by the time you attach a picture and a link to the podcast, you pretty much say, new episode, yay! So, especially if you want to add hashtags and stuff. So.
Yeah, sounds... So
if you ever see me with terrible grammar, that's why.
That's why.
Oh, man. So, Clone Wars. I'm not trying to destroy Star Wars, Chris.
Okay, whatever, Hope.
Shut up. The only other parts I had for this section is, I loved Hondo's line referring to his mother that 3 hostages is just good business. That line always cracks me up because his mother is like, yeah, 2 hostages are great. 3 hostages, just good business. Thank you, Mom. But he's also just, I love Hondo. He's super smart, and he knows that if they call the Separatists and not the Republic, they're going to have a droid army killing them.
Yeah. Yeah, because he thinks more like the Separatists.
I like that Hondo's like just really smart. I think this is a much better episode for him than the first one.
Not smart enough to know that his people are screwing around behind his back, though.
Yeah, I actually slightly was hoping, because I forgot about that it was Dooku that kills Turk. Spoilers for the end of the episode. And I kind of wish it was Hondo. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, the scene where Turk comes up and he's like, oh, the ransom never arrived. I half expected Hondo to turn and shoot him.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, that's because you're backstabbing me.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah, I figured that kind of backstabbing would be elementary to him, you know? That would be something he would probably have expected and probably already knew Turk was capable of.
And also, like, Turk had that one guy who was like, we should go tell Hondo. I was waiting for him to tell Hondo. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been a while since I've seen this episode. So, he didn't. I thought it would have been cool if Hondo just would have killed the guy. Just pew. Though it was pretty badass watching Dooku make Turk kill his own man. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
The only other note I had for Act 1 is it's fun to think about Jim Cummings, who voices Hondo, is also the voice of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. Voice actors are great. But you would find this interesting, Chris. He also voiced Jonah Hex in a 2010 Jonah Hex motion comic. And our pal Scott Gardner has a Jonah Hex podcast on Two True Freaks.
Yeah, which he hasn't made in a couple, 3 years or so. But yeah, even so, listening to it, you'll see why he doesn't make it, because it's labor intensive. That was a great podcast. Yeah, that's a long way from Winnie the Pooh to Jonah Hex. It's like that is definitely voice acting mirror opposites right there.
I always think about Tara Strong, and she can be Bubbles and Powerpuff Girls and Raven and Teen Titans.
Yeah, I mean, literally, Winnie the Pooh's voice is this high-pitched, you know, it's like round. It's like this bubbly,
ooh,
round voice.
Ooh, bother.
And I did not see the 2010 motion comics, but I can only imagine Jonah Hex's, like, whispery sandpaper voice, you know, he's got to be. Unless he sounds like Winnie the Pooh, and that would be priceless.
Ooh, I'm going to kill everybody in this pub. Ooh, oh, bother, everyone's dead.
Bother, yes.
Well, did you have anything else for the first section? I had more in the third section.
Oh, okay. No, I'm ready to go on to part 2.
Yeah, okay. Act 2. At the crash site, Jar Jar and a small platoon of clones find that the senator has died in the crash. They bury the senator as clone commander Stone is questioned by the other clones who's in charge with the senator dead. He begrudgingly says it's Jar Jar, who's the highest ranked person there. They see the nearby geysers are spitting out asses.
Whoa.
I would love a geyser that just spat out acid.
An ass geyser. That sounds like a night after Taco Bell.
If I were, like, celebrity asses, I'd be great. The geysers are spitting out acid, and they're unsure of how to continue with both the ransom and transporting Dooku. Turk takes a group of bikers out to deal with the survivors. They attack the clones as Jar Jar leads them away to hide in a geyser. The pirates take away the money, leaving them stranded in the middle of nowhere. Stone wants to wait for their help for the Republic, but Jar Jar insists they move on. They jump on a herd of scalders to chase down the pirates. Back with our Jedi heroes, Dooku manages to guide a knife the Force into a key slot to release them. They get down the hallway until Hondo's monkey lizard pet summons the men, and back in the now-guarded cell, Hondo wants them to be friends as long as they don't try to escape again. Obi-Wan uses the Jedi mind trick on their guard to free themselves. Dragging Dooku around like those parents who leash their kids at Disneyland, our Jedi and the Sith Lord waste no time snipping at each other. Okay, so talk about voice actors for a second. In this single episode, Dee Bradley Baker not only voices the clones, but Hondo's little monkey lizard thing.
Oh, jeez. So it's almost a one-man show a lot of the time.
Oh, God. There's, like, entire episodes, like Rookies and Umbara, where it's just Dee Bradley Baker talking to himself 95% of the time. But, yeah. Anyway, so what'd you think about it, too?
I'm not buying Jar Jar's sudden, you know, tactical smarts and leadership abilities.
We do know that he, from the previous episode with him, he does have a connection with animals.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. But, like, all of a sudden, he's like rises to the occasion of commanding the clones, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're trying to make this, you know, fit in a little more with episode 3 when he's, you know, in the Senate and stuff like that, make that a little more plausible, maybe. But I'm not buying it. But it's a good action scene.
But I do have to say, I like that they had shown in previous episodes that he has good connections with animals, because it was actually a really good plan to notice that the scalders don't go near geysers right before they explode. And so they were able to hide in one. And I also like them riding it. Because, like, as they're riding the geysers and stuff like that, they know which ones are about to explode, so the animals naturally avoid running into those geysers. And I just really think the clones look really cute riding on the animals.
It's a neat sequence, but it would have made more sense with somebody else besides Jar Jar, like, commanding, like, having Jar Jar figure out, oh, we should jump on those animals, you know, and the animals avoid that would be something Jar Jar would naturally figure out, you know what I mean? Yeah, but... Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, like, commanding the clones, whatever.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the better part of this episode, the Jedi leash to Dooku.
I love the idea of the old prisoners chained together movie, you know, that hate each other and have to work together.
I just love how Obi-Wan and Anakin take every opportunity to, like, make fun of Dooku with him standing right there.
They got him outnumbered.
What was the line? Like, Dooku was guiding the knife, and he was like, please tell your Padawan to shut up. Anakin, you need to shut up. The Count is trying to concentrate.
like we've been saying for all these episodes, Dooku's kind of a stooge, and I think he knows that he wants to act like he's the older, more dignified, well, not Jedi, he's a Sith, but, you know, he's more experienced than them and stuff. But I think he knows he's out of his league at this point. So he definitely sort of is holding back. He mostly does stuff when he's, you know, when he fully, like, starts doing stuff, it's when he's on his own, you know, when he's acting alone.
Part of it is also that, like, he kind of realizes that he needs the Jedi's help in this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's tethered to them. They have no way out. So he kind of doesn't have a choice. But he also knows that both of them have Force abilities, too, and all three of them will do anything to survive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think he knows that their Force abilities, probably especially Anakin's, are way above his. So he's like, I gotta stick with these guys and help out when I can, but... but he still puts on, he just seems to have that air about him of being, you know, a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't no big deal. He thinks he's so hot, but you know what? He's really not.
No, I just, I love the entire sequence. Obi-Wan's sass level is like through the roof in this one. And James Arnold Taylor just did a great job with Obi-Wan this entire episode.
I've noticed that the animation on faces is getting better too.
I made a note of that in the next episode, but yes, I started noticing that too.
They're starting to get some more expression and dimension to their faces, and it helps a lot.
Yeah, because next episode we're covering Jedi Crash, which has Ayla in it, Ayla Secura, and I was noticing just like very little subtle eye movements, and like her Leku where it had like a lot of motion, and so yeah, like they're doing a lot better, especially like with eye and cheek movements, mm-hmm. like when you like scrunch their eyes and they look over, and even just that they're talking, it's just like little eye darts, you know, like darting around, and it's much better than, say, in the Malevolence episode where Obi-Wan was crouched down and his head was turning, listening for Grievous, but his eyes weren't moving at all. I was just like, oh my god, like that was probably the worst I can remember the animation being.
Well, I think as they're going along, that they're like coming up with stuff that they can use in further episodes. So, you know, as it goes along, it just gets smoother and smoother, like anything. I love that you can see that progress. That's why I like television shows a lot for genre stuff, because you see like a whole process, whereas movies, a lot of times, you know, they've been processed and worked on by the time you see them, and TV shows can be a work in progress, and that can work out like really well in the long run. It does definitely with Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm. So did you have anything else for Act 2?
Nope. I'm ready to get to the hot part of this episode.
Me too. Oh my gosh, we are flying through this. Don't delete my notes. I see your cursor moving around. Don't delete them.
I'm not deleting no notes. I'm okay. Just flipping around. See? You can see this flying up and down?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You highlighted them for a second. I was just like, oh, don't delete.
Oh, yeah. No, that was an accident.
Alarm sounding, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Dooku race through the pirate lair to get out. They get surrounded and pole vault up to a wall, but only Anakin catches the ledge. Dooku's tether is shot off, but Obi-Wan catches him before he can plummet back to the ground. They're getting too heavy for Anakin to support. Too bad Hondo catches them again. Turk lays on his lie thick that the Republic killed his men and double-crossed them. Hondo orders him to deal with the clones and as he takes care of the Jedi. Back in the cell, the pirates separate the Jedi from Dooku. Hondo puts the Jedi on display in the banquet hall to torture them. Hondo's tanks are heading for the crash survivors. Commander Stone requests Jar Jar's help in the next part of the mission. He asks Jar Jar to go negotiate with the tank drivers. Hondo's men are confused. There's no army like Turk's men had reported. The drivers take Jar Jar to lead him to his Jedi friends, but they really just want to get a ransom for him too. It's all part of Stone's plan. Jar Jar falls into one of the driver, causing the crash to crash into another tank, and then go into the power lines leading to Hondo's base. Obi-Wan and Anakin are free from being tortured, and Dooku gets out of his cell. Lightsabers back in hand, Anakin holds Hondo captive. Turk tries to get out, but Dooku kills him and takes his ship. The tanks arrive, and Jar Jar pops out of it. They see Dooku escape, meaning no ransom for Hondo. But Obi-Wan releases Hondo, wanting to leave the pirates on even terms. Hondo thanks him for being honorable, and the Jedi hop in their ship and fly away. The end.
Kind of a weird, unsatisfying ending for everyone, but a very realistic ending, and very Clone Wars ending, as we'll see in the future. I like this part the best, as you said, this is the best part of the whole episode.
The ending, and I think a lot of it is because if Hondo never came back, this would be a very unsatisfying ending. But since we know that Hondo comes back for several future storylines, I think it's really good because of what Obi-Wan does. It sets up those future storylines, because Obi-Wan is usually the Jedi that's constantly dealing with Hondo. Mm-hmm. And we even see in Rebels, when Hondo was talking about the Jedi, he was like, I was friends with a Jedi, or at least I think we were friends, and he's referring to Obi-Wan. And so, like, I do like the ending of this episode just for that reason. And like I said, if Hondo didn't come back, though, this would be a very unsatisfying ending. I guess if you're watching it fresh at the time, I could see you being like, huh.
Yeah. Well, it's just sort of like, well, you know, I mean, the situation gets resolved. But usually in something like this, it gets resolved and everything gets tied up, you know. Dooku would have been in it, but they, you know, obviously they can't catch Dooku for any length of time, or there would have been some reversal and everybody got their money back. It would have been something, but it was just sort of like ends in a standoff. And I mean, in the end, it's really just sort of introducing Hondo in this story as what it serves to function as. And I'm fine with anything Dooku's in. I love Dooku just because he's just like Grievous. They're both iconic bad guys, you know. Grievous is the clanky mustache twirler, and Dooku is the, you know, distinguished guy with the deep chestnut voice. You know, it's great. You know, Christopher Lee, whatever, is okay with me.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Christopher Lee voicing him anymore, though. I think he only voiced it for the movie.
No, it's not, but it's still, you know, I mean, it's the guy's doing a Christopher Lee voice. Mm-hmm. It's still...
He does a really good job.
Yes, yeah. It's still Dracula from the Hammer movies, you know? It's great. And did you notice when they had Anakin and Obi-Wan sort of tied up in their energy bonds that it was kind of like they were like in a sort of little pink heart-shaped
situation? Yeah, Hondo loves to torture people. It's Corey Burton.
I love these two guys.
FYI.
It was what?
Corey Burton is voicing Dooku now, FYI.
Voicing Dooku?
Mm-hmm. Good job, Corey. So a few things. Number one, the pirate calling Jar Jar a plague was the truest line in Clone Wars ever. And I have a question for you. How much money do you think Jar Jar would ransom for?
Not a whole hell of a lot. I mean, I think they'd have to get some, like... They would probably have to hit up Amidala to go into her own pockets to... out of, this, you know, out of friendship to get him back.
Or at least maybe, like, the Gungans, because he was a war hero to the Gungans.
That's true, but then again, probably a lot of them were probably just sort of like, with him too, because they're like, yeah, he's a war hero, but I remember him from before.
Remember him.
And the Jedi would be just like, I don't know, this might just solve a problem if we just let this slide.
I just had this idea of, like, some Gungan, like, the senator, the Gungans being like, I think he owes me money. Just leave him.
Why don't we just leave him with the pirates and let him destroy the pirates after a couple months? We'll just come back.
Oh, God, Hondo would just be like, get out.
Yeah, well, they would find Jar Jar just sort of floating frozen in space. That would probably be his fate. Into the airlock.
I can imagine it, too, because there's a Robot Chicken episode with that.
Oh, that's probably why I have the image in my head.
Yeah, it was... Jar Jar finds Darth Vader, and he's like, Annie, what's up? And he's just, like, ignoring the cab, and he's like, Jar Jar, wait in here for a second. And he shows him in a room that, like, hits the airlock, and he goes, like, piloting out into space. But then he comes back as a Force ghost, and he's like, Annie, we can be together forever! Oh, man. So, at first, I wondered why Obi-Wan bothered to catch Dooku as he was falling to his demise, but then I remembered that Dooku would probably Force catch himself. And I think it was really smart on Obi-Wan, like, really quick thinking, because he probably didn't want to lose Dooku in capturing him.
I had kind of the same thought. It was just like, yeah, let him go. Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, man. And then, do you know about the meme that's like, let so-and-so character say fuck?
No.
So it's this meme on the internet, and it's just like, you know, in teen shows and kid shows and cable networks where you can't swear, and that's like not HBO and stuff like that. It's this meme of like, let this character say the word fuck. And that's kind of how I felt about Obi-Wan in this one, because when Anakin was mouthing off to Hondo, I was just waiting for Obi-Wan to go, Anakin, shut the fuck up!
Or whatever.
We're classy over here at JS and Jedi.
Whatever the equivalent is in the Star Wars universe, so... That's the thing. They can come up with something like that, you know?
I mean, Zeb says Carabast, and that's supposed to be a slang.
Is that supposed to be really bad?
I don't know, but he says it a lot, and it's always just like, oh, Carabast! So I assume it's something like, oh, shit. Oh,
yes, man. Yeah.
So, criffing Anakin, shut the criff up.
Yeah, it's just as long as they don't use poodoo.
Poodoo! Oh, let's see, I'm looking at
the poodoo, man.
Okay, so I was like, how many of my notes have I already said? I do like Hondo's line about the best line I did like Hondo the Pirate having the best line going, even in a galaxy of war, you hope to find some honor.
Even if it's not from him?
Yeah. And then this is the Dooku that I always wanted, because he's usually a pod most of the time, like you said. But seeing Dooku in action on his own and killing people and getting his hands dirty, that's when he's his strongest. And I really like that. That's my favorite Dooku. Most of the time, I really don't care about Dooku and he's kind of boring, but he's scary.
He's scary when there's nobody bigger in the room.
Yeah. And a lot of times when it's him and the Jedi, he's still the biggest person in the room.
Yeah. He's the tallest anyway.
Yeah, and he has the best beard.
Yeah, he does have the best beard. He's like a chess piece.
I think I had some of my notes for this episode. Did you, or for this section, did you have anything else for the final act?
Nope. I am pretty much, noted out.
Wow, we went through that episode really fast.
Wasn't an awful lot in it.
And yeah.
Plus Jar Jar.
Lots of Jar Jar. So what were your final thoughts on the episode?
It was a decent episode. I personally would have liked it to be more about Dooku, Anakin, and Obi-Wan. I like that. That was my favorite dynamic of the film, is the three of them chained together like an old prisoner escape movie. So I would have preferred it being almost like that, you know, just like an old movie. And the interplay between the three of them was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I would. Are we doing scores now?
If you want to go ahead and give your score, then I'll do mine.
I would. It's getting a 7, but it probably would have been an 8, but it got docked for Jar Jar.
Mm-hmm.
But 7's not bad.
No.
7's.
It's a C.
It's a normal. It's normal.
For me, this was much better than the first part. The part one. We get to see more Hondo and what makes him tick.
Uh-huh.
I liked him when he was mentioning a code, because he kind of reminded me of like Jack Sparrow or like thief characters like Robin Hood in Once Upon a Time and stuff like that. And many of those archetype characters have a code that they live by, and that's their honor. And so the moment he mentioned the code, I knew exactly what I needed for that character. And I like seeing the Jedi at least to do... Dooku, but I would have loved, just like you, to have the Jar Jar stuff cut out, because it was though the clones were great. Like, I didn't talk too much about Commander Stone, which is kind of sad that I didn't talk that much, but like, I feel like Commander Stone was like really smart. He was like, Jar Jar's a fuck up, how can we use this to our advantage? Like, I feel like that was Stone's plan. Like, Jar Jar, I just need you to go on that guy's ship, and we'll be right behind you. And Jar Jar's like, okay! And then he, like, crashes into the thing, and Stone's just like, yes, just how I play. Like, I feel like that was Stone's plan, because he kind of got turned
the
on.
Correct the correct use of Jar Jar. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I didn't talk too much, but I also liked him. So overall, I gave the episode a 15 out of 20.
Okay, so that comes out to a 7.5, a little better than me. C+.
Yeah, I liked the clones, and I liked I love Hondo. I always love Hondo, so, and the Jedi.
I like his design. I like the way his character is designed.
Yeah.
You said Jack Sparrow, but with like that leathery neck and face, he's more like Keith Richards in those movies.
Huh.
It's Jack Sparrow's dad. Or, you know, just visually, you know, because he's got that lizard neck.
He's Bootstrap Bill.
Yeah.
That's not Jack Sparrow's dad. That's Will's dad.
I don't know. I've never seen the one with Keith Richards in it. I've just seen pictures of him, but
okay.
Keith Richards just has that leather lizard neck.
It was okay. You're not missing that
segmented.
Much. Yeah. So, as always, if you want to give us a nice review or feedback, you can leave us a review or feedback on iTunes, which will be great because it helps people find our show.
Yeah.
And so where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com with all my Two True Freaks podcasts and all everybody else's Two Freaks podcasts, which is actually the majority of the podcasts.
Two freaks.
Yeah.
All two of us.
Yeah, there's a whole ton of freaks. And we're pretty prolific. Come check us out. And, you know, we're on iTunes too. We'll tell you more in the outro of how you can give us money and everything like that. What about you, Hope? Where are you?
You can find us on Twitter at JGuysAndJedi or at Two True Freaks, where our friend Jane runs it. You can also find me at Hope Mullinex, and I write for What the Fangirl. Yay!
Yay!
I'm still on season 3. Oh gosh, it takes me so long to write those Clone Wars reviews.
I know, it's one of these days we're going to catch up and pass you.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too. I was thinking about it the other day because I was like, I love Clone Wars. I love it so much, but because I'm doing this and doing the reviews for What the Fangirl, I never thought I would say this, but I'm slightly burned out on Clone Wars, just slightly.
Oh, geez.
Not enough to be like a crazy amount to where I'm like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm done.
No, you're committed.
Yeah, and I love Clone Wars. It's just like, I need a week of not watching Clone Wars. Maybe when we get to the end of season 1.
Maybe that'll happen soon, yes.
I would like to maybe take a week off. Well, I don't have, that was probably our shortest episode yet.
Yes, so far. We'll see how we do on the next one.
The next one will not be short. We're getting into my favorite chunk of Clone Wars. And if you haven't seen my notes, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, I did check them out.
You did or you didn't?
I did.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. So until next time,
all right, we'll
don't let Jar Jar be with you.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Misa not.
Guys.
Yeah, Misa not looking forward to more Jar Jar. So
sorry for the weird opening, guys. Bye.
Bye.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2 True Freaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2 True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.